And so we're going to do this this morning. I'm super excited to have the three come up and share. And I would just ask that we give them our respect. It is hard to get up in front of a chapel and just to share. And so I'd ask that we would put away our phones and that we would just be fully present and give the gift of our attention to these three brave students that are going to share part of their lives with us. So I'd love to invite Kellen and Glorious and Jules to come on out and share with us. You guys, who should go first? Glorious. That's the first name I heard. Okay, so you guys all know Glorious. Glorious is an RA on first floor, Morgan. And she's a biology major. She's on the worship team. And she has an awesome thing to share with us this morning. So go ahead, Glorious.
Okay, everybody here just says me. I'm going to settle, stopwatch myself or else I can get to yapping. Okay, so yeah, I'm Glorious, and this is actually my last year here, and I'm so sad.
No, it's my senior year!
But I'm also, so happy about that just because of the transformation I've been able to have since I've been here at Simpson. I'm actually from Oregon, that was me showing over there. I'm actually, 20 minutes from Newburgh. I'm from a super small town called Yamhill. Have you heard of it? You have? Perfect! Okay, so yeah, I came from Yamhill. So obviously coming here, even though this is considered a small community to me, I was like, whoa, this is it's a lot. So yeah, because I came from a community of 1,000 people. And so up to the point of coming to Simpson, my worldview was kind of small, you could say. So yeah, I think I wasn't super exposed to maybe anything outside of my family. And I don't think that was anybody's fault. I think that a lot of us can say, some of you guys especially, that are considering going to college or maybe even coming here, it's kind of our first step out into independence. It's we're away from our family, we're away from maybe what we're familiar with. And a lot of times that can be kind of scary. And I think for me, the hugest transition that took place in my heart, and it's something I'm still actively working on actually, is figuring out who I am. And I know that that's a big, big question to figure out. And I feel like that's a life journey, is figuring out who we are, but specifically rooted in Him. I think I came from a huge family. There's seven of us. And I have four different siblings, all very, very different. They're very loud, very opinionated, big personalities, which I love because it makes them fun. But I think I was more of the timid one out of my siblings and things like that. And so we all had a thing, all of us still had a thing that we were known for. And I was known for being my family's peacekeeper that kind of broke part, fights of it, apart. And I was also really known for my academic performance. I was known for doing pretty well in school and things like that. And so a lot of my identity was placed in those things. And I like to say, before coming to Simpson and discovering what my true purpose was in Christ, I was living from what I like to call a limiting belief. We all have a living belief about ourselves and something that's trying to stop us from stepping into what the Lord has for us. And that limiting belief, in a short statement for me, looks like, unless I do what's expected of me, then I'm going to lose love. Unless I do what's expected of me, then I'm going to lose my place in life. I'm going to lose my purpose. And living from that place is obviously rooted in fear. It's rooted in anxiety. It's not from the Lord. And with that comes a lot of struggles, trying to figure out, who am I, outside of my little bubble that I grew up in? Who am I outside of what my parents say that I am? Because I think that it's easy to just kind of be influenced even by our own parents who have the best, most of the time they want what's best for us. So yeah, I had all of these I am statements, I guess you could say, statements that were I'm not enough unless I'm doing excellent in my academic performance. I'm not enough unless I'm fulfilling the role that my family has placed on me. I'm my family's peacekeeper, all of those things. And I think God has such an amazing way of bringing the right people into our lives. I don't think that, while yes, Simpson has been amazing, I don't think the Lord would have left me in that place. I think even if I didn't come to Simpson, I would have gone on this journey. But I do think Simpson had
incredible people, amazing mentors like Melissa, Sarah Jobson, people who innately choose to see you through the lens of Christ. And that is rooted in truth, and that is rooted in peace. And so my journey here at Sinsen has kind of walked me out of my limiting belief into what I like to call a limitless vision for myself. It's a vision of how I see myself, how I see the world, how I see my relationship with the Lord. Limitless in the sense that, that I get to live according and to what the Lord has for me. And that limitless vision, my statement for that is that I get to live and everybody else gets to live exactly how God intended them to. So you get to walk out in your purpose with full faith, trust, rooted in the things that the Lord says about you. So those I am statements switched from I'm not enough to I'm enough on my own. And I know that I'm saying this, and I think a lot of us in this room have struggled with that, placing our identity in the things that we do. But the truth for every single person in this room, whether or not you know the Lord or not, you're enough just as you are, just as God created you. The second you woke up this morning, you didn't have to do anything. You're enough and you're loved by Him. I think the second thing was knowing my true identity was that I'm a daughter first. I'm the daughter of God. I'm the daughter of the King. That means I'm His daughter before I'm even my parents' daughter. Not saying you don't take your parents' advice, not saying you push them aside, but saying it gives you the perspective, okay, where am I placing my full trust and my hope? Am I placing it in the Lord, or am I placing it in what other people are saying about me or what they think that I should be doing? And when we have that perspective, we get to shift into this place of, again, living from our limitless vision. And I think since I've been at Sinsen, I've really just discovered what it means to live for Him. And I know that that's like a super broad statement, and obviously I can't go down all of my experiences in my journey that I've had at Sinsen that have like shaped that. But again, I just think the Lord is so intentional in the way that He makes sure that if it's something that He wants us to know, if it's something that's important to Him, He'll make sure we know. He'll make sure that we find out. And that looks like, for me, bringing me to Sinsen, bringing the right mentors, bringing the right people into my life so that I can ultimately know who I am in Him. So that's crazy.
So good. So good. Thank you. I feel like Kellen should go next. I don't know. Let's go, Kellen.
Good morning, y'all. Let me go ahead and set that timer because, yeah, let me not yet. How much I got? Like 5 minutes? Okay. 6. Man. Thank you, Nat, for giving me this opportunity. I just want to give my testimony how God has worked in my life. It's been a journey, to say the least. A lot of ups, a lot of downs. Coming to Sinsen, I'm from the Bay Area originally, so bigger cities. So coming here was definitely a culture shock, to say the least. But I feel like God has a plan for everybody, and God brought me here to Sinsen for His purpose, for my purpose, right? Growing up, I grew up Christian. I believed in God. My parents are Christian. I went to church occasionally. But I don't really find and have a relationship with Him myself. And it wasn't until about a year and a half ago that I really devoted myself to the Lord and made the decision for myself that I'm going to serve Him. That was tough. Kind of growing into my identity, growing into what He wants for me. You know, in high school, I was, you know, the popular athlete, and, you know, that comes with, it's cool in the moment, right? But once you zoom out, it's not that cool. And I was lost. I was lost in the party scene and what looks cool on social media and all of that. It took me a lot to kind of battle through that. And yeah, so coming here to Simpson really changed my perspective and really changed my relationship with the Lord. Funny story, I was at the Wingstop parking lot last summer. I was waiting, I ordered on my phone, waiting in the parking lot, and I'm just scrolling on TikTok, like, I'll see you guys do. Waiting for my food, and I'm just scrolling, and then God's voice, I hear God's voice. He said, "You, my son, you need to get your priorities straight." He said, "You need to shift your focus out of worldly things, and you need to take time to focus on me and grow a relationship with me." So, put down my phone, stand out the window. What's going on? that was a crazy time. And then I would say, my life changed from that moment. I always remember that. I know I was very proud of myself. I know God was proud of me. It's like, man, somebody's gonna get this guy on TikTok. That was a very pivotal time for me. Moving on from that point, I really took time to devote myself to Him, and grow in relationship with the Lord. Go to church every Sunday, be in His Word every day, pray every day, grow relationship with other people, be a walking disciple of Him. So I really took the time to devote myself to that. And it was just life-changing. And to grow from that, and to acknowledge that God is the shepherd of us, the shepherd of me, and not allow myself to be shepherded by worldly things. So kind of taking that time to be led by Him will change my life, and it will change all of you guys' life. Once you shift your perspective, not to be, shepherded by worldly things, but by be shepherded by the goodness of God, your life will change. Promise you. So that Wingstop story, crazy. Life changing. I will be starting a Bible study here on campus, and I'll be offering spiritual form credit for that. So if any of you are interested in that, come to me. We'll be doing Bible study weekly and getting His Word, making discussions, wherever you guys are at in your faith, regardless. I'm not perfect. I'm still learning every day. So we go together, wherever you guys are at in your faith. I was lost, and I'm still figuring it out. I'm not perfect, right? So I feel like whoever wants to come to me, I just want to be an outlet for all students. We grow in the Lord with each other. I'm so thankful to be here and thankful that God has placed me around so many good people. All the student leaders and students and Coach Cohen, of course. It's just been an awesome time. Thank you guys.
Who should come next? All right, let's go do this.
Good morning. My name is Julia Zaragoza, but you probably know me as Jules. I'm just going to share a little bit with you about what God has been doing in my life the last couple of years. It's more specifically the last couple of months. But I'm going to start when I was 5 years old. My mom and my biological father, they divorced. And I don't remember my dad ever really being in the home. He was always in and out of jail my whole life, and so that just meant in and out of my life. But that's when my stepdad came to the picture, and he raised my siblings and I. And so 3 words that we used to describe my dad are kind, patient, and generous, and that was just the way that he treated my siblings and I. He was not my real dad, but he came in and he he raised 5 of another man's kids, which is just insane to think about. I wouldn't want to do that. But when I was 12 years old, my mom was pregnant with my youngest sister, and I wanted nothing to do with that baby. I thought that if my dad treated me like I was his own kid, that all of us siblings were his kids. And so I thought that if we had this new baby coming in, that that whole dynamic would change. I would no longer be his daughter, but it would all just be directed onto that baby. Definitely not the case that that little girl is one of my best friends. And so that was just our dynamic. So he was kind, patient, generous in the way that he treated my siblings and I, and he was kind, patient, generous in the way that he treated everybody around him. My dad acknowledged people and welcomed them. And so when growing up, he would be going to the store or to work, and he'd be lacing up his boots, and I'd say, "Where are you going, Chris?" That's what I called him, just by his name. I said, "Where are you going?" And his answer every single time was Mexico. And I'd say, "Can I come?" And his answer was always, "Of course." So we'd go out to his work pickup, and he'd have this cardboard box sitting in his front passenger seat, and he'd take it, and he'd move it from the seat to the front porch. And I knew that I was always welcome. That was always my spot. He was making the space for me. When we would go to work, he'd be driving on the back roads. I'd go to work with him sometimes. We'd drive on the back roads, and he'd have his one hand on the steering wheel, and he'd do this half wave to everybody that we passed. And I said, "Chris, do you even know who they are?" And he said, "No." So I said, "Why are you waving at them?" And he said, "You never know what somebody's going through. That wave could have just cheered them up." And so just that slightest gesture of acknowledging the person on the road passing them, that's just who he was. He was a high school football coach, and so on Friday nights we'd go and watch him coach, and while he was out there, he'd just open up his arm, and that was for a player to know that he was welcome in his arm. Whether it was about something good or something bad, that player was welcomed, and that was to build a relationship with him. In 2016, my dad was diagnosed with lung cancer, and it was just a tough battle. We went to Stanford Hospital, and he had his entire left lung removed, and we thought the cancer was done. A couple months after, the cancer came back, and it metastasized to a tumor the size of a basketball sitting on his hip, and so he was suffering for months, living on his stomach. And so his body had just atrophied. He was once this great big man, and now he was just this, you know, bones. I was a freshman in high school on October 25th, 2017, he passed away. And that was just difficult, so hard for my family. There was so much pain. We had lost an important part member of our family. What were we going to do now? My mom didn't want to live, and my dad was always the anchor of our home. My mom had the strength of it, but my dad was always pushing behind her and saying, "You can do what you want. I'm right behind you." My mom and my dad were also high school sweethearts, and so for them, they were together until his last breath. I wanted nothing to do with God. If he was so almighty and all-powerful, why would he not save my dad on this side of heaven? Why would something like this happen to my family? I already had an absent father, and the dad that was supposed to be here, who so badly wanted to be here, physically couldn't. I ended up going to a summer camp with Young Life, and there they just have time set aside so you can talk with the Lord, do whatever you want. And so I had this conversation with God, and I said, "God, I don't know how to trust you. I don't know how to believe that something like this can be good for my family." But I said, I'm going to try to trust you. I'm going to try to believe you. And I want to do life with you. So I had grown in my relationship with the Lord. I ended up getting baptized at Simpson last year. And then my family moved to Texas. And God not only told my mom where to be in Texas, but she heard the audible voice of God say, "This is our home." When we went home shopping, we walked into the living room and she said, "I'm staking my white flag. This is our home for my family." And so there's just things trusting God in that, like, I hadn't understood what was going on. I still don't fully understand what's going on. I don't know what the plan could be for my family to lose my dad like that. But I had enough faith and trust in him to trust in him that little bit. This past Christmas, we found out that my mom has breast cancer. I had already seen one parent die, so how can I believe that that isn't going to happen to my mom? How am I supposed to watch my mom suffer in a similar way that my dad did? How can that be God's plan for my family? How can this happen again? So my mother always says, conflict builds intimacy. And it's not the conflict itself, it's the act of resolving it. How do we fix it?
I'm in a constant conflict and battle with God. I'm just the headbutting of it. I don't understand what's going on. And it's hard to see the good things that God is doing, especially because I'm in constant pain. It's been a lot of tears and a lot of prayers, and I'm still just angry at God. And I'm so angry with God, angry that my dad had to suffer and die. I'm angry that if God is so almighty and all-powerful, why would he not save my dad on this side of heaven? I'm angry that my mom now has cancer. And I'm angry that I have an 8-year-old sister, and we have to have a conversation of what happens if mama dies. All that we know from cancer is dead. And so people come and tell me, oh my, your faith is so strong, or God's got it in his hands. How do you know what my faith, how do you know that my faith is strong? How do you know that God's got it in his hands? You don't know what he's doing. And so all that I know is death from cancer. How can I trust that? How am I supposed to believe that he's going to take care of my mom when he didn't take care of my dad like we wanted him to? And so I think that in some aspects, we as Christians are expected to fully give in and fully trust God that he's got it all under control. But I think that we should be asking the hard questions, God, why is this happening? Why are we doing this? How can this be what you want for my family, for my life? And why are these hard things happening? Why are they so difficult? And so because these things are happening to my family, it's not always sunshine and butterflies, and life is not always that good. Because my dad died so young, he was only 43 years old, I live my life like it's so short. I don't continue doing something that I don't want to do or I don't enjoy. I don't shy away from something I want to do. I make bolder decisions, and I act quickly on things just because I could be missing out on the possibilities. I am pretty strong-headed, and I'm not afraid to share what I think or be open-minded. I also have this go-with-the-flow attitude because not everything is set in stone and not everything is always going to go the way that you want to. And so with that, I don't make promises because I could want to do something in the moment and then completely change my mind, and I don't want to let somebody down like that. So I can't change what is happening to my family. I have to be here, and my mom is at home, and she just started chemo on Monday. But I have to be here, and as I was sharing this with my mom, she said, I'm not dying. And I said in my head, like, Mom, I don't know the difference between this and what Chris went through. When we found out she had cancer, I said, I'm not going to come back this semester. This is my last semester. And I said, Mom, I don't have to go back. And she said, yes, you do. And if it gets worse, I'll call you. And so now I'm just in this sitting, waiting period of, I don't know what to do, God. I don't know how to trust you. I don't know how to believe you. And I think that's the point, is asking the hard questions. I don't know how to trust you. And with that, it shows the character of God. It forces me to figure out who he is in this pain that I'm going through. And it's okay for you to be mad at God and ask him the questions. I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know why these hard things are happening. I don't know what to do. And I know there's a couple of you who are going through harder things and going through these difficult things. And it's not fair to you. It's not fair to me to go through that twice. But it's still just figuring out how can we still have the joy in life when all these hard things are happening.